With Ecolab Science Certified, we take cleaning off your plate so you can focus on what's most important to your restaurant, your guests. And having them switch from giving your restaurant a go to making it a go-to spot. Ecolab Science Certified. Count on a scientific clean. Learn more at sciencecertified.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Pledges from tech giants to cut their carbon footprints are being upended by efforts to build up artificial intelligence capacity. It's spurring companies like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft to team up with power producers to find creative ways to speed the development of new clean energy sources. We'll tell you about them. And then, a startup called Scale AI has built an army of data labelers who are doing the work needed to power the modern AI boom. Demand for Scale's services has made its young founder and CEO a billionaire. Our reporter Berber Jin will join us to explain how Scale's business model works. But first, AI data centers require a massive amount of energy. Consider this. A search on a generative AI platform like ChatGPT uses at least 10 times the energy as a standard one on Google. So, as tech giants build out their AI capabilities, they'll need more power. And to meet the emissions targets many of those companies made just a few years ago, they'll need that power to be clean. Our reporter Jennifer Hiller is here to tell us about those efforts. So, Jennifer, what are some of the new clean energy sources tech companies are looking into?
So the tech companies for many years have been backing renewable energy projects, and they continue to do that. They're big backers of wind, solar, and now more battery projects. But they are kind of in a desperate hunt for clean energy that can go around the clock. And that is just really difficult to find out there. So what we are seeing is that some of the companies are trying to come up with ways to get new technologies onto the grid. So they are doing things like backing geothermal startups and trying to help them with first-of-a-kind projects. They're working with utilities in different states to try to come up with maybe new rate structures where they would pay essentially a higher rate that would help underpin some of the investment needed in something like long-duration battery storage. So they're trying to basically find a way to get those kinds of power generation technologies out there without having regular ratepayers have to foot the bill.
Can you give us some specific examples of these projects?
There's one from Google in Nevada where they are partnered with a geothermal company called Fervo, and they're working with NV Energy, which is the utility there. And they've basically been working on pilot projects that have been successful with Fervo and have helped back those and prove it up and have started buying some geothermal power. And now what they're doing is going to the state regulators to try to get the okay for a rate structure that would basically have Google buy geothermal power from NV Energy. And then for the data centers that Google builds in the Nevada area, they will be able to say that they're being powered at least in part by geothermal.
What's the timeline for when some of these new power sources are expected to be up and running?
That's, you know, one of the difficult things that's unanswered in this industry, because the need for power is there now, and it takes a few years to get new projects online, and especially newer first-of-a-kind projects. So we're seeing some new clean energy projects that will be delivered this decade. But for the most part, a lot of these in bulk are not going to be coming onto the grid into the 2030s.
What is tech's demand for energy meant for nuclear power?
We are seeing just a whole turnaround in the sentiment around nuclear. There's a lot of people very excited about the possibilities there and talking about maybe being able to finance new projects. And then we're also seeing deals like the one announced last week between Microsoft and Constellation. Constellation Energy owns a large number of nuclear reactors across the country, including Three Mile Island, the undamaged reactor from Three Mile Island. And it closed down in 2019, basically because it was uneconomic and it couldn't compete in the electricity market there. And it was just losing money. And now there's a power purchase agreement between Microsoft and Constellation that's going to cover the cost, essentially, of bringing that reactor back online. That's the kind of thing that just wouldn't have been imaginable a handful of years ago.
All right, that was our reporter, Jennifer Hiller. Coming up, we'll tell you about the 27-year-old billionaire whose army of gig workers is doing the grunt work behind the AI boom. That's after the break.
With Ecolab Science Certified, we take cleaning off your plate so you can focus on what's most important to your restaurant, your guests. And having them switch from giving your restaurant a go to making it a go-to spot, Ecolab Science Certified. Count on a scientific clean. Learn more at sciencecertified.com.
Getting a response from an AI chatbot can feel as easy as typing in a prompt and hitting enter. But there is a lot more that goes into it. And Alexander Wang has become one of the youngest self-made billionaires by building a company that shapes the way AI models behave. His business, Scale AI, has built an army of more than 100,000 contractors who perform the grunt work that powers the modern AI boom. There's such a demand for Scale AI services that its revenue pace tripled last year, boosting its valuation to $14 billion. Here to tell us more is our reporter, Berber Jin. So Berber, let's start with Alexander Wang. What's his background?
So Alexander Wang is one of the youngest founders to have built a multi-billion dollar tech company in the past 10 years or so. So he dropped out of MIT as a freshman to start Scale AI. And he kind of ran with this idea of not coding up a buzzy software app like a lot of founders dream of doing when they're young, but taking on this unglamorous task of building out the sort of labor workforce that he predicted a lot of tech companies would continue to need to help with everything from customer service to content moderation. More recently, he landed on what's so far been the biggest revenue goldmine for Scale, which is this huge generative AI industry where a big part of training these AI models is actually having thousands and thousands of humans manually write up the question and answer pairings that these models need to learn how to sound more like humans.
So Scale AI is effectively, you know, having contractors label data and write these prompts for generative AI. Who are some of Scale AI's customers now?
Their big customers include Meta and Google. They've had a long-standing relationship with OpenAI. You know, Alex, he likes to compare Scale to NVIDIA in the sense that it's one of these companies that's providing a service that all these different companies in the AI race sort of need.
Tell us a little bit more about how Scale's business model works.
If you boil it down, it's basically arbitrage on human labor. So on the one end, you have a bunch of contractors that Scale has recruited over the years. Alex has said the numbers at around 100,000 contractors that Scale manages based all over the world. And then on the other side of the equation, you have these big tech companies that want this sort of invisible workforce to perform a lot of the grunt work needed to train AI models. And these tech companies don't want to hire these workers themselves. And so Scale is kind of like, we'll handle the back end of that. And in exchange, they basically charge a premium on the service that they offer.
Where does it find all those contractors?
Scale has workers everywhere from Kenya and the Philippines to Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. They mostly advertise for these gig work jobs just online. So through Reddit forums and Discord servers and sometimes through direct LinkedIn outreach.
Do the contractors know who they're working for?
Most of them do not, because the two websites that these contractors use to complete assignments for Scale, they're called RemoTasks, and more recently they rebranded it to Outlier. And neither of those two websites publicize their affiliation with Scale.
This sounds like it could get pretty complex. How has the company managed all of this?
That's one of the interesting things about Scale, because on the face of it, it looks like any other hot startup. But their jobs are not like any other tech company. They're managing this really complex, sprawling network of contractors that are based all across the world. So those types of employees at Scale are called queue managers, because a lot of the work there is making sure the queue is proceeding according to plan. One big thing that Scale has struggled with is fraud on the platform. Last year, for example, there was a big blow up at Scale where some of the data that they sent to Meta to help train Meta's AI chatbots on Facebook and Instagram, they were basically created by chatbots. And the contractors who were on that project had found a way to basically make money off Scale's services without actually providing the sort of human inputs that Meta wanted. And we know about Scale's stressful experience with Meta from a bunch of former employees who spoke with us.
What is competition like for Scale AI?
Competition is very intense. You have companies like OpenAI themselves that are building their own in-house labeling platforms. If these tech companies are developing AI models, think it's going to be more and more important, they might end up just investing their own resources to building out this platform themselves. And so there are all these sorts of uncertainties around how sustainable Scale's growth and business model is. The other thing to keep in mind as well is that it's unclear how long this AI spending boom will last. If those concerns materialize into something more tangible, the money spigot could really slow down, and that would be very detrimental to Scale's business.
That was our reporter, Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. We had additional support from Trina Menino. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
With Ecolab Science Certified, we take cleaning off your plate so you can focus on what's most important to your restaurant, your guests. And having them switch from giving your restaurant a go to making it a go-to spot, Ecolab Science Certified. Count on a scientific clean. Learn more at sciencecertified.com.